Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians trust that in Jesus, God came to earth and lived among us. And so between Christmas and Easter, we talk a lot about what Jesus did in his life, what he said and taught, how he healed and prayed. And in particular, we focus on the end of Jesus' life, his death on a cross, and his rising again to new life. Luckily, we can't have the crucifixion without the resurrection. But the story does not even end with Jesus rising from the dead, because Jesus appears to his followers during the 40 days following Easter Sunday. And only then is he carried into heaven, as we heard in today's reading. Now, I think this is an odd story. Odd story of Jesus being carried away from them, but it is our focus today. And in the story, we see that Jesus commissions his disciples, then is taken away from them very mysteriously. We don't know how that happens. And you may remember that something similar happened to the Old Testament prophet Elijah, another important figure. But even so, it's not what we expect to have happen to us in everyday life, is it? So how can we get some meaning out of this? What might we find in this story? Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge that this story does involve an ending. It involves saying goodbye, because Jesus leaves the disciples for good in his physical form. There are not going to be any more post-resurrection appearances. Even though Paul hears Jesus' voice, he never sees him. This is an end to Jesus' particular life here on earth. And endings are often hard. I mean, we often have some grief and some loss in times of ending. Even joyful events like graduations and retirements, all these involve some recognition that a certain phase of life is over. It is a loss when people move on and relationships change. Things that are important to us become part of the past, and we feel their absence and we mourn even as we move on into the future. And surely, this sense of ending and loss is there in the story of the ascension. The disciples have to watch as Jesus is carried away from them. And, you know, I've always imagined this, although it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I've always imagined that the disciples are watching Jesus go higher and higher into the sky and farther away until all they can see of him is the soles of his feet. And then they disappear into the clouds too. That's just the way I see it. But Jesus has been taken from the disciples once again. Wouldn't you expect that they would feel some loss? But you know, instead, we are told that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Something else is going on here. So, okay, let's think about the words that Jesus says to his disciples before he's taken away. He says, "It is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city. Stay here until you have been clothed with power from on high." Okay, when some books end, you know, you get a summary, you get a reminder of what happened, or you get a conclusion, you get sort of that list of, okay, here's what you should take away from the book, this is what it meant. It doesn't really happen. We don't get a proper ending in Luke. Instead, we get this transition from the stories about Jesus' life to stories about the church's life. Because ascension, as it turns out, is not the end. The disciples, the future church, are sent to the waiting room. They're sent back to Jerusalem to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, to wait until they are clothed with power from on high. Now, Now, this may give you some images of the waiting room at your doctor's office, or the waiting room when you've taken your car in for some work, or, you know, the kind of waiting you don't really want to do. Most of us don't want to wait. We want whatever it is now. But you can't rush God. You can't force whatever God is up to. And so for God, this time of waiting is a time of equipping. Power will be given to them. This waiting time is intentional. And so they return to Jerusalem with great joy, and they spend their time in the temple praying and blessing God. Well, what if we viewed our waiting times as times of great joy, times when we might pray to God, bless God, as we're waiting for the doctor's appointment, or waiting for the car to be fixed, or waiting for the college applications, or whatever it is we're waiting for. Too often that waiting time is out of our control, and we're at the mercy of somebody else's schedule, and we don't know what their schedule is. We don't know what emergencies might have come up, or what other people or events might have taken priority over us. We are put in our place when we wait. We're reminded that we are not the center of the universe. Other things, other people may be more important. We are not in control. And so waiting is a good time to pray to the one who is in control, our God. And maybe even in waiting, we might experience the great joy that may come from time with God. So there's another reason, I think, another reason that the disciples may be experiencing this great joy, and I think it's because of what Jesus says to them. He says, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Does that sound familiar? It should. It's been part of the gospel from the very beginning. That was what John the Baptist preached at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And now, here at the end, the disciples are going to start proclaiming this same good news to everyone. The story has come full circle with good news. And so we return to what we have known from the beginning. We have known from the very beginning that God is merciful, and that God reaches out to us to forgive our sins. This is what the life of Jesus has been all about. And this is the story that is given to the disciples to proclaim. God is faithful, full of justice, and full of mercy. And so the church has proclaimed this ever since. I know that there are some of you out there who do not believe this, because you have told me so. Maybe you don't believe this for yourself. Maybe you don't believe this for others. You are convinced that something you have done does not deserve to be forgiven, or something someone else has done is so harmful that you pray they will never be forgiven. And God forgives anyway. This is the great good news of the Christian faith. We do not deserve forgiveness, and God forgives us anyway. This is called grace. And I believe this is why the disciples have such great joy as Jesus leaves them, because he reminds them of this. So these are some reflections on the ascension and what it might mean to you. Endings, waiting, forgiveness. Even when we come to endings, Jesus finds new ways of continuing to be with us. His time on earth in a physical body may be over, but he is sending the Holy Spirit to accompany us, to empower us, to make our waiting a fruitful time. Because the good news is that God is merciful and forgives our sins, our sins and those of others. And we too can rejoice at what we do not deserve, but receive anyway. Jesus' ascension is the final piece of the puzzle. Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, they all fit together. And you can't have one without the other. All of these show us something about God. In brief, the cross reveals God's compassion and closeness towards those who are vulnerable. The resurrection reveals God's victory over sin and the powers of death. And the ascension reveals that the risen Christ reigns over all things and offers forgiveness for all. It's not some unknown God who rules over our lives. It is Jesus Christ who loves us, who accompanies us, who challenges us. Jesus Christ who died for us and rose for us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.